You are tuned to 106.1 WSCEA LP Portsmouth. We are Portsmouth Community Radio. Please note that the views expressed on this program are those of the individuals who speak them, and not necessarily of Portsmouth Community Radio, its Board of Trustees, members, volunteers, or underwriters. It's now time for the program titled Local Folk here on Portsmouth Community Radio. I'm your host, Steve Carrigan, and I'm bringing in people and events from the local folk music scene. Stay tuned as I help convey the music and stories of my guests who are graciously here to share with you a little bit about their personal histories and musical selves. And who knows, you might even get inspired to get out there and get involved in one way or another. Before I introduce my guest this evening, I have a few announcements followed by the weather, community bulletins, and a word from our underwriters. Looks like it's 59 degrees out this afternoon. There's a chance of showers. Cloudy with a high near 65, southeast wind around 8 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 40%. New rainfall amounts of less than a tenth of an inch possible. Tonight, a chance of showers. Patchy fog after midnight, otherwise cloudy with a low around 53. South wind around 7 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 50%. New rainfall amounts of less than a tenth of an inch possible. Tuesday, showers likely, mainly after 1 p.m., patchy fog before noon, otherwise cloudy with a high near 66, south wind between 7 and 10 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 70%. New rainfall amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch possible. And Tuesday night, showers. Patchy fog after midnight, low around 52, southeast wind between 8 and 10. Chance of precipitation is 90%. New rainfall amounts between a quarter and a half of an inch possible. So, looks like between now and Tuesday, we're going to get some rain. On the community calendar, this week on the Environmental Show, Tuesday, 9 to 10 a.m., Bike to Work Week, May 14th through 18th. This week on the Environmental Show, join host Tim Stone and special guests as they discuss Bike to Work Week and bicycling in the Seacoast. Representatives of the Rockingham County Planning Commission, Seacoast Area Bike Routes, SABR, NH Seacoast Greenway, and local bike stores will discuss items such as Seacoast Bike Area bike routes, the Rye Bicycling Ordinance, the challenges posed by the Memorial Bridge construction, and much more. So tune in this Tuesday, 9 to 10 a.m., and learn about the joys and challenges of bicycling in the Seacoast right here on your community connection, Portsmouth Community Radio. Also, you know what we sound like here at Portsmouth Community Radio, WSCA LP 106.1 FM. So now come and see what we look like on Friday. I'll tell you what, we have a face for radio. On Friday, May 18th from 5 to 7 p.m., WSCA is having an open house gathering. So come on by and sample some munchies, meet the DJs, hang out with other volunteers, swap ideas, find out about sponsoring and underwriting WSCA programming, and visit with the WSCA board members and get a guided tour of our studios. All good fun. Everyone is invited. The Portsmouth Community Radio WSCA LP studios are located at 909 Islington Street, Portsmouth. There is plenty of parking and it's free. If you're a volunteer or are thinking about volunteering, Friday, May 18th from 5 to 7 p.m. is an ideal time to hang out with people already involved with Portsmouth Community Radio, WSCA LP, sample some free munchies, enjoy some great conversations, see old friends, and meet some new ones. So come and join us. For more information, well, you can get more information by calling 603-430-9722. And thank you for listening. Programming on Portsmouth Community Radio is made possible by you, our members, and by Cousin Richard Entertainment. Presenting Kurt Bazette and Jen Kurtz in a few seconds with our fathers, featuring songs and stories of World War II at the Portsmouth Public Library on May 17th. CousinRichard.com. And now, onto the good stuff. Tonight's guest has been an inspiration to many of us in the folk world. He's a musician, historian, a storyteller, learner, and adapter of the music, among other things. He's performed extensively in the United States and abroad in concert settings and festivals and schools. He represented New Hampshire at the Smithsonian Folklife Festival and at the Celebrate New Hampshire Festival. In 2000, he performed at the Kennedy Center Millennium Stage and throughout Romania on a tour sponsored in part by the Smithsonian Folklife Center. He's created fans out of a genre of music most of us really weren't even thinking about. And he did it as
Neither was I, Steve.
And he did it as a joke. It's polka music. His radio show is Polka Party and it airs every Saturday, 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Over at 91.3 FM WUNH at the University of New Hampshire in Durham. He rocks out the accordion in the surf rock band The Surfs, and if you haven't guessed who he is yet, you have not been paying attention to the music world around here. Gary, welcome to the show.
Steve, thanks so much for having me. Nice to be down here again.
Yes,
down. I love this radio station.
Do you? I'm glad. I love the radio station up there in Durham as well, WUNH. That's a great thing.
Hey, we're the last of the Mohegans. We got to take care of each other, you know.
I'm psyched. I'm really psyched to have you on here. And as we were chatting beforehand, it seems like there's such a mountain of information and things that you do and how you do them that, you know, to me, the best way to start to filter this is to go back to the beginning, or a little bit about going back to the beginning. What we were just listening to was some traditional music. What was that?
From the mountains of southern Poland, traditional mountain music. And it's their mountains are three times the height of, like, New Hampshire White Mountains. And so they're so isolated. And what's cool about that is it's preserved as folk music for centuries. That's the stuff you're playing is probably 800 years old. And they're still playing it because they're so isolated way up in the Tatra Mountains. And
that was Polish music?
That was Polish folk music between Slovakia and Poland.
Okay, so that's not what we think of. That's not what I... That had a very percussive feel to it.
I know, and that's completely different what you hear on the Polka Party on Saturdays, which is Polish-American music. See, folk music, if it crosses boundaries, if it goes to a newer environment, it doesn't remain pure, and it changes, and that's what happened with polka. They don't even have polka bands in Poland, Steve. That's the crazy thing.
Well, why not?
Well, it's evolved. Their music, their traditional music, is mainly fiddle and upright bass, but what happened here, the peak of Polish immigration was from the 1880s through the 1930s, and like my grandfather, when he came here, they wanted to Americanize their names. They didn't want to talk about the old world. They wanted to be American. Yeah. And even the early band leaders, they thought their ethnic music was corny. And it became Americanized. And it fused with big band jazz in the 20s and 30s. So what you have is these ensembles playing, you know, big band jazz ensembles with the American drum set they adopted, playing old country music. And that's how polka really... The American form of polka evolved.
The American form of polka. I have something on vinyl right here.
There you go. 1930s, Indian Orchard, Massachusetts.
Let's listen for just a moment. Gary, this is wildly different than...
This guy worked at the Indian Motorcycle Company in the 1930s. He got tired of factory work, and he devoted the rest of his life to the violin. And he's from my grandparents' generation. He was born in the 1890s in Poland, and he was like the early New England orchestra style music.
So this is polka music, then?
Yeah, this is like early Polish-American polka music. The fiddle over time, unfortunately... just disappeared. I mean, it was the primary folk instrument of Poland, but over the years it became urbanized. And you know, the music today, if you get polka recordings today, it's mostly brass. Even the accordion's not even played. You know,
I want to talk about the accordion because that's your primary instrument. It's not just an accordion that you play. You play a piano accordion.
Yes.
Which is a variation of.
Yeah, there are so many, Steve. There's so many different types of accordions in the world today. So many variations: the concertina, the button box, the bion, the chromatic accordion. The first one was invented in 1822. In Germany, and it had buttons and bellows. And then in 1829, a Cyril Damian of Vienna added another instrument to it. So it became a one-man band in 1829. And Concord, New Hampshire, that was one of the very first accordions built in the United States, 1835. Piano accordion that I play was built in the 1850s in France. It was invented, a guy named Busson attached a keyboard to the instrument in France in the 1850s. And the 120 buttons came in the 1880s, so it's a new instrument. It really is compared to, you know, other instruments.
It looks fancy. I mean, it looks like it has a piano on one side.
And it has a bass and rhythm section on the other side. It's like an upright bass and drum built in. It's like back in the 20s and 30s when Grandpa's time, you had an accordion player. You didn't need anything else at the Grange Hall. That was it, you know?
A one-man band.
It is. Might as well strap it on here just in case.
Yeah, why don't you? Yeah, that's a great idea. That last tune that we listened to did not have accordion in it at all. That was mostly brass.
But you probably couldn't hear because back in the day when they recorded in the 20s and 30s on the old 78s, Steve, they had one microphone, so each instrument wasn't mic'd separately. They had one take, one microphone. That was it.
Nice, it's nice. So you've got this on you right now, and it's colorful, and it looks modern.
This is 1940s woman's full-size accordion.
A woman's full-size accordion?
Yeah, back in the 30s and 40s and 50s, the women had the beautiful accordions, red, blue, and the guys were stuck with the black ones. But this is like the perfect size. I love it. This is Angelina. So while you queue up, why don't I just play it? You like Irish music, right?
Well, I love Irish music. Why don't we hear something?
It's hard to mic up because I got two different, you know.
No. That is like no Irish music that I've heard recently. is that?
Those are a Scottish reel and an Irish reel. Sounds different on a piano accordion versus a button box, which is more like has a more raw feel to it.
Yeah, well, no, they do. And I was just speaking with somebody this morning about the differences between concertinas and accordions and the in and out. If you get a different note from the in and out,
yeah,
the
button box
this.
And the concertina, they're different notes if you push or pull. But on a piano accordion, same note if you push or pull.
Same note if you push or pull.
Yeah.
I was reading your bio, and I read about it's almost as rare as being raised by wolves, and I think it said raised by vaudeville musicians.
Yeah, well, you know, first off, the neat thing about New England and in America was growing up in an ethnic community, you had the benefit of both worlds. I grew up in a real Polish-American community, Polish-Italian community in northern Connecticut on the Connecticut River in Enfield. And I heard a lot of old world music from the old timers, you know, whether it be Italian or whether it be Polish, stuff that they would play years and years ago. But then when I was 10, my mom, a vaudeville band, was looking for an accordion player, and all those guys were 75, 80. And, of course, you had a 10-year-old accordion player. That's what they loved, you know, to take a little kid on stage. So that was my second traditional form of music, was old American music. And they threw you right up on stage, and that was the best education was to travel around in a VW bus with these old timers in this vaudeville style show. We were called the Hog Hollow Hooters.
The Hog Hollow Hooters. Do you remember a tune that you used to perform?
They were all the old American songs, and it was modeled after a vaudeville style show, just almost like the old Carol Burnett show.
Well,
you know, it was a variety show. You had a guy doing a solo. Everybody came out and they sang. We sang one song. Everybody made the whole crowd sing. And then there would be a duet between a husband and wife. He would sing one tune and it would harmonize. She'd sing a completely different tune. And the two different songs would harmonize each other.
So
a tap dancer, and it was an actual planned out variety show.
So the Volkswagen bus, it was a big bus,
there was like 8 or 10 of us crammed in this bus, you know,
traveling 8 or 10 people,
yeah, doing
on
gigs
tour.
We did some political convention in Hartford. I remember when I was 11 or 12 playing there.
Were you with your folks or did they just send you off?
No, they sent me off. My mom, they made her exactly Evelyn. She was the secretary for the band, but no, they trusted my parents trusted them, yeah. But, you know, they bring me home at night, and there were late nights that we would travel and play. Like, I have 7 or 8 o'clock gig, and I get home 9, 10, 11. And,
oh, boy.
You know, it was a great education, and my parents knew it was.
Did you get the bug for performing then?
I did. I'm more comfortable in front of a crowd of 500 people than talking one-on-one with somebody. You know, it was a good thing. It really was. And, being on stage meant a lot to those old timers. Appearance, attitude, and I really learned the art of performance from those old timers.
Well, what do you think are the most important aspects of the art of performance? I know that that's a pretty huge question, I'm sure, but do you think that there are things that are lost now that people were doing then, or?
Yeah. Well, just with the way I love to continue on with some of the things that they taught, the old timers taught me. I don't like to be high above anyone else on the stage. When I give a gig, I always like to be at eye level with everyone. I like to see my audience. I don't need lights in my eyes. I like to see who I'm playing for and interact with people. And usually when I do a concert, it's hard for me to line up the set list ahead of time because I usually feed off my audience, and I sometimes just come up with what I play for those folks.
So you play on the fly?
Yeah, a lot of it's on the fly, you know.
Wow.
Because every place it's like playing in a restaurant. I stroll at restaurants. Every single table that you go to in a restaurant, they'll want a completely different song than the next.
Do you stroll restaurant, or do you do that?
Yeah, off and on. Yeah, I do, yeah. Until BMI slaps them with a fee. And so
yeah, and then, they
anymore,
say,
but, yeah.
And then they say, oh, I'm sorry,
yeah,
we can't
but
really
I do a lot of restaurant
anymore.
Gigs, yeah, a lot of quiet strolling in the background, you know, the Parisian French. Then the big band stuff. Then they want the gypsy stuff. Whatever you want, Steve.
It's whatever you want.
You're like you got to be a walking jukebox.
Well, that's
you got to build up this repertoire. And over the years, you know, you're always going to meet somebody new. You're always going to meet somebody who wants something different. And, you know, your job is to serve. And so you go back and you're always learning. That's something one thing about being a musician is you never consider yourself I'm a master or this or that. You're not, because you could take 3 or 4 lifetimes and you still always will learn something new.
Yeah.
You could take one country, just study the music of Ireland in a lifetime. Oh. It's infinite.
Yeah,
the repertoire is infinite. And that's just one country of how many countries there are in this world, you know.
And you study ethnic. You consider your show to be an ethnic show.
Yeah, ethnomusicology. I love it. Anything to do with ethnicity, you know, and coming here to America and all these different traditions that still persist today. I always tell folks, like, Quebec City, it's more French than France. You know, people from France, I go, wow, these people, you know, they're playing some old music from France, and they are. It's beautiful. They're preserving these old world traditions that the old world is losing.
Ain't that the truth? Well, you, like you said, there's no polka party
no,
in
I
Poland.
No, I mean, when I meet Poles from Poland today, they go, what is this guy playing? 18, 1700s Polish folk music. Like, my great-grandparents play this, but this is what came here with my grandparents, and, you know, and I'm just doing what my grandparents did. I'm preserving that, and
it's almost like it migrated. It's almost like these traditions migrate or
they
something.
Did, yeah. And they intermingled, and you know, I have to hand it to the state of New Hampshire, the New Hampshire State Council on the Arts. They've worked really hard to preserve these traditions. They sent us to the Smithsonian back in 1999, but they also set up that same festival in Hopkinton the next year. And what was really beautiful is they brought in all the kids from all around the state on school buses to see all the traditional art forms that New Hampshire has.
Did this have to do with the Songs of the Seasons CD? Do you know anything about that? Or
I think actually I'm on that CD, yeah. Yeah, yeah, definitely, yeah. There was different styles of traditional music from New Hampshire on that CD, yes.
I think that there was something from Dudley Laughman, who I had on last week, and I have Jeff Warner.
Yeah, I think I play a mazurka
well.
On that, yeah. But you know, but it's neat because New Hampshire like had these different communities, like you know, there's the Greeks of Manchester, and Claremont, New Hampshire, had the Poles. Berlin had Russians, and you know, and they picked the state canvassed, you know, the Arts Council canvassed the state and dug deep and found these people that are still maintaining these traditions. It's a beautiful thing. It makes life colorful, you know.
It's super colorful. I wanted to let you know that you are tuned in to 106.1 WSCA LP Portsmouth. We are Portsmouth Community Radio. Programming on Portsmouth Community Radio is made possible by you, our members, and by The Press Room, featuring live blues, jazz, folk, R&B, Latin jazz, and more, Monday through Saturday, along with appetizers, sandwiches, and entrees at 77 Daniel Street. Schedules at PressRoomNewHampshire.com.
And that's our home base for the Serfs, The Press Room.
It's the Press Room. We love The Press. It's the Press for the Serfs, and it's also it's where I play music and sing. You know, when yeah. My native session, that brings up another point. This is probably time to do our musical community calendar, which I don't really have one, except that I can say, when are you playing next?
I just played for the Kittery Art Association. I did a solo concert, but the Serfs will be at the Kittery Block Party. I believe it's Saturday, June 16th, and then we're at the Press Room on the 30th.
Excellent. So a couple dates coming up for the Serfs. We haven't even gotten to the Serfs, but I do want to play a little something here.
A lot of people will remember this, Steve.
Okay, let's play this for just a second. We'll be back in a moment. Gary Straczynski. Tell me about what's going on. Where are we going with this?
Well, Steve, I feel like in an ethnic community, and for example, the old Polish-American community, you know, my dad's in his late 80s now, and all those guys in their generation, they had polka records. They were farmers and factory workers, and it's funny, my dad never smiled. You know, he's always serious, tough guy, but he listened to polkas, you know. And they had the polka shows on the weekends. But if you ask the old Polish Americans what their rock and roll was, it was Herb Alpert back in the 60s and Henry Mancini and Al Hurt and, you know, the instrumentalists in the 60s.
So for the record, just in case people weren't aware, what we were just listening to, the quote-unquote rock and roll, that was Herb Alpert.
That was Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass. It was so hip in the 1960s. That guy was so cool, I'll tell you. I mean,
now, they had instrumental. You don't hear too many instrumentals on the radio now.
No, and that was a big influence on my life, was instrumental music. Like the accordion is a vocalist. It's a voice in itself, but And the Surfs model themselves after that instrumental music from the 1960s, and the Ventures and the Lonely Bowl. And there you go. There's the Ventures.
So you just said the Ventures. I said, we got to play some of this for these guys. Yeah, but this is like rock and roll.
It is. And, well, you know, you weren't really allowed to play rock and roll on accordion when you were a little kid. And the Surfs is a dream come true for me that I get to play this instrumental rock on accordion. And
how long have you been in the Surfs?
God, the band is older, is probably 25 years old. We all met. I was strolling at a Polish wedding in Exeter. And at that same wedding was a legendary Portsmouth band called the Beach Cowboys. It was a rockabilly surf band in Portsmouth. They were really popular in the 70s and 80s. And we fused together after this wedding, and the accordion became the lead instrument, the lead vocalist. And to this day, it's very hard to describe the genre that we play. I call it fun music.
Fun music?
Yeah.
Well, if anybody's ever been to a show, they'll know that fun music would probably be the top way to describe exactly what's going on. I mean, it is fun stuff.
We draw from so many different influences. We take ethnic music and we put surf rock to it. We fuse it with it's a combination of electric guitar, electric bass, and drums with accordion. So it's like that fusion is happening. You know, taking ethnic music, gypsy music, Slavic, Celtic, anything, and fusing it with that garage band genre is what it is.
Yeah. Is that your favorite way that you make money?
I make money by playing accordion for a living. That's,
okay.
You know, yeah. There's so many gigs that you can, what's really neat. I often think that I fill in the cracks where a lot of musicians don't, you know, go.
Like playing in a restaurant, for
playing
example.
In a restaurant, playing it for the elderly, you know. I mean, that's music is needed in so many places, more than just clubs and big club listings and places. There's places where it's really needed, you know, and for people, for patients, for the elderly. It brings them back memories. I visit schools. I'm an artist and resident for the state. I visit middle schools, elementary schools, where I make the kids play the accordion. They have to play it.
Really? I have to say that I was on my way in here, and I just came back from this three-day thing, and I've been up all night and this and that. It was a folk thing. It was fun. But I went in to go get a cup of coffee at Cafe Killam.
Yeah.
And I told him that you were going to be my guest.
We wrote a song just for him. I don't know if I brought it here. Yes. Yeah. Dancing Goats, yeah.
Dancing Goats with Turkish rap on it.
Yeah, he's rapping in Turkish on our first CD, Surfing with the Poodle, yeah. I don't know exactly what he's saying, but I think he's...
I'm not sure. He says he can't remember what he was saying because I think he was just
Yelchin.
Saying...
Oh, Yelchin.
Yeah. But that's one example of the fusion. But the other thing that happened was that somebody who described themselves as the best dancer at Century Hill said, man, that guy, you know, Gary, he comes in and he plays for the people up here. And that's an example of, you know, so you go, Century Hill is a...
Yeah, it's a regular on my side. I do all the elderly facilities in the area, yeah. And I'm not ashamed of it. I love it so much. One, because I love old music, what they love. Yeah. But even working with Alzheimer's patients, they won't, you know, they won't respond. But when you play them a song, like, I know the Edgewood Center has one woman in there that she has Alzheimer's, and she was a radio singer in Boston in the 30s. She doesn't say a word or anything, but if I play this one tune, she knows, like a tape recorder, she knows all the words to the song. It comes right back to her.
And you go, and she told me you go door to door.
Yeah,
you
know. I go to room to room. That's the neat thing about the instrument. It's portable. And the Edgewood Center, there's 131 rooms. I go to all the rooms possible, you know. It's not always possible. Some are sleeping, and, you know, and some say, get out of here, you know. But I love it. I love my job. I had a dog that used to go with me room to room, and, you know, I couldn't go anywhere. They specifically wanted him, you know, but it's filling in the cracks. Music's needed everywhere.
Yes.
It's just not downtown. You know, restaurants and clubs, that it was more prominent years ago. When I was a little boy in the 1960s, there was always live bands at restaurants. I mean, even in the Connecticut Valley, we had the Smorgasbord the Quonset Hut restaurant, and there'd be a different polka band on Saturdays. But that was the 50s and 60s. There was live music everywhere, and it's faded today. It's sad.
It has.
A world without music's pretty sad, Steve, you know?
Super sad.
And I hope more of all the restaurants that are popping up in town, I hope they hire local musicians, you know, because we certainly need a lot more of it.
Here's to that, because if we don't get hired as local musicians, we're going to have to resort to doing something like this.
That's right.
Now that was something that I thought it was something different, but you said
that's Chris Decato from the Surfs, and you know I work for a library in Hollywood that they look for different types of styles of songs, and so they needed like holiday music, weird versions. So I recorded "Old Anxiety" with Chris Decato on a guitar.
Nice. Hey, and I'm gonna play this is on the CD as well.
Yeah. They were looking for two Italian songs.
Two Italian songs.
So I went and got a beer one night. I said, I'm going to write two Italian songs. I was in Kittery, and wouldn't you know it, ABC's Dirty Sexy Money, they were in Sicily at a restaurant, and the waitress goes, what would you like to eat? And there's my song in the background.
Let's do this. Let's turn this up for a minute. What would you like to eat, huh?
What you like, huh?
Did you have that line as an inspiration while you wrote this?
No, you know, I grew up in a town that was all Sicilian, and this stuff is so natural for me. I can pump out Italian tunes, write Italian songs. And that's in an Eddie Murphy movie, Meet Dave. They use it in a cafe scene.
That same song?
That song, yeah.
Yeah, so my point was, if you're not hiring the local musicians, then they have to make a buck somehow, and it might as well be in movies, huh?
Yeah, you have to be really creative in this business today. It's not like, you know, I'm looking at an old directory from 1885 in Lynn, Massachusetts, and then, you know, dressmaker, this, and they were all musicians. It was an honored field. I mean, it wasn't looked down upon.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of today, you're a bum, you're a musician. It's a hard, hard job, and to do it full time. I'm 22 years this year, full time musician, and you got to be creative, and you got to take up all these different avenues to make it work.
Well, I want to talk about how you became a full time musician. I mean, I know when you were doing the vaudeville, you were, you know, 10 years old, and you were traveling doing some music.
Yeah, I always loved it. Growing up in a working class family, music was beautiful. They wanted their children to be educated and experience music, but you didn't do it for a living. You would get a real job. So I came to forestry school in 1980 at UNH, and I was a forester for the U.S. Forest Service for 5 years. But then I started the polka party, and then, like you said, Steve, I got punked.
Yeah,
I
you
punked myself.
Punked. I read it on your bio, and it really cracked me up. You know, I was chatting with you today. And I said, "What do you listen to? What music do you listen to?" You go, "Well, I don't. I'm not much.
I listen
polka,
to
really.
Scan on my radio these days. I'm sorry. I just flew me for a loop. What do I listen to? Scan, Steve. It's called scan on my car.
but what's funny about it is that you said that you liked punk music and that
I love punk rock. Everything that you wouldn't expect a polka DJ to listen to, you know.
You wouldn't expect it, but
no.
Funnier things have happened, maybe. But the funniest part of this story is that I think that it's pretty punk to say, "Oh, you want an alternative?
Yeah, well,
I'll give you alternative."
Yeah, so you know, I always loved being a ham. I talked into a broom handle as a kid, so I joined WUNH. I was a DJ. And years ago, they were pushing alternative music, the Seacoast alternative. And I said to myself, hey, I'll show you guys alternative. And so I went home and I got 10 of my dad's polka records. And I started a show. And I just started as a joke. And then the mail started coming in Newmarket. I found out there was a strong Polish community. play a song for Stella Stanley and this and that. And it just grew and it just grew. And then people were asking me to play gigs. And then I quit the Forest Service after 5 years. I became a full-time accordion player. And I just followed my path. I was hungry, Steve. I lived on sardines and popcorn for a few years. But
you did it.
I did it. Yeah. And it's a challenge every year.
Boy, that's strange because I live on sardines and popcorn now.
It's the best thing. I had the lowest cholesterol in the building. I mean,
two of the things that I eat the most.
Throw garlic in there, too.
You're going to put the garlic on
raw
there.
Garlic. I swear by it.
And you're doing well. Hey, I'm choosing a random CD, but this is polka music right here.
That's an 1800s song. I did a swim for the lights. I swam for the two lighthouses in Portsmouth Harbor in February of last year, and there was one point in the swim where I felt really dizzy, and I found out a Prussian lighthouse keeper drowned. Right there, and this is an old Prussian tune from the 1800s. So.
This is an old Prussian tune, All the Fish, the Westphalia Waltz.
Yes.
Excellent. Let's listen to this for just a moment. Now, there was some reverb.
Yeah, well, this album was recorded to, you know, part of the proceeds go to the maintenance of the Portsmouth Harbor Lighthouse, and that was the point of it. During the swim, I was doing all this promo for the swim, and I was playing the accordion in the lighthouse, and I was so impressed with the sound of the acoustic instrument in the lighthouse. So I recorded an album of traditional music in the Portsmouth Harbor Lighthouse. There's one take, mistakes, everything, but that's the natural reverb in the lighthouse.
So... just to repeat, this album, Old World Accordions, in the Portsmouth Harbor Lighthouse, it looks like it's 27 tunes that were recorded, all of them in the lighthouse.
Yeah, and 10 different accordions. I have all these accordions from the 1800s. And Jim Tierney, our legendary father guitar player of the Surfs, he's a popular recording engineer in town, and he's always been pushing me to do a solo thing. So we took 10 old beat-up accordions. We hauled him up to the top of the lighthouse, and he just let the tape roll for 2 days. And it's just songs that came to mind. And a lot of it, most of the music on there is probably from the 1850s and earlier. I love old traditional music. And so we just took a bunch of cuts and... 10 different accordions playing.
It's great. If anybody needs more information about this or wants to get their hand on this CD or any other thing, you can go to... it looks like Gary's Red or...
Yeah, Strajinsky's my last name, but it's S-R-E-D, so it's
G-A-R-Y-S-R-E-D.
.com.
You can get all the info that you need in there. I mean, there's tons of people listening to the Polka Party all the time as well. I'm sure that they're aware of this, but the fact that this goes for a good cause...
Yes, I love those lighthouses. They're iconic structures. And the sad thing about it, Steve, is that the towns, the state, the feds, nobody's taking care of the lighthouses.
Yeah,
There's a small group of people that undertaken that task. And
for this one, I mean, I know they're doing one for Whaleback now as well, right?
Yeah, and it's tough. It's a tough to raise money for those things. So I did a swim there.
Well, is this you? And I'm looking at the back of this CD, and I see somebody swimming.
Me going to Whaleback.
Okay, I want to talk about this for a minute as well.
That's another crazy thing tangent here.
Here on local, you know, Gary has traveled all over the world with his music, but what he does for the local community here in Portsmouth is astounding. And it all has to do with, part of it has to do with the things that you enjoy doing, like swimming. But you don't just swim. It doesn't seem like, anyways. You swim, they call you the creek man?
Creek man, yeah.
Why?
Well, because people would see me swimming in January, February, December. And it all started, when I was going to UNH back in the 80s, I would swim the Lamprey River every day. I lived on the Lamprey, and one autumn rain, Steve, would just end my swimming season. So the science experiment began. I began experimenting with gear, and because they don't make gear for winter swimmers. And, I used to race in high school, but I haven't been in a pool since I was in high school. But we live in the most beautiful area for estuaries and rivers. Our waterways are incredible. There's so much history, so much beauty. And so the problem was I was swimming in the winter, and then people were calling the cops, and then they were at harbor masters telling me, there's one guy saying, this guy's swimming in the ice, what's going on, you know, and people taking photos. So I decided that I have to do some good.
Some good.
And to return, harness this hydroelectric power. And I fell in love with Stepping Stones in Portsmouth, the Kremples Brain Injury Foundation, and because I played for those guys. And I said, I am going to swim for you guys. You guys need money. I'm going to raise money. I'm going to swim to the Isle of Shoals. But I'm going to do it in winter. And, you know, they all looked at me as just like, oh, boy, you know. And you can see how people's eyes glaze over. And
Did they not believe you? No,
they didn't believe me. But, you know, everybody was silent. It was so funny. And so even up to the day of the swim, there was no money that came in. You know, and I said, and I told myself, you are going to die if you're going to do it one way or another. And I did it. And then the money came in after we made $17,000.
$17,000.
For a brain injury after that swim. And then my boat crew saying, well, hey, you know, this was a blast taking the boat out in winter. Let's do it again. And so it became an annual event every year. I've done five so far for five different charities. And I'm up to $50,000 raised for charity. 50. I sure could use the money, Steve. Yeah. but there's a joy about giving, you know. And, you know, and if I can turn this into a profit for somebody who really needs it.
Yeah.
And I think maybe this winter will be Great Bay for the Center for Wildlife, maybe for York. We'll see.
They're great. They're definitely.
They do wonderful work. And all I ask is they got to buy me a new wetsuit.
They got to buy you a new wetsuit. Well, yeah. that sounds definitely worth it. I mean, they take really good care of the animals down there. I mean, they
really do. So many people bring in injured birds or animals. And I have a real strong tie with loons. Loons follow me in the winter. It's amazing. They're so curious about me.
Birds of a feather.
Yeah, I'm swimming, and I look, and there was one in Kittery. He was waiting in the cove for me every day. He would swim up to Route 1 with me. This last winter, I've never been to Rockland, Maine, but I had to do a fundraiser for their two lighthouses. Wouldn't you know it, never been to Rockland, Maine. Waiting on the beach for me was a giant loon. He swam 2 miles with me from Miles Head to Rockland Breakwater Lighthouse. He accompanied me. And that really broke me down, and it's my spiritual bird. So if I can help out loons on the next swim, so.
Are you? It seems like there's a huge contrast between the energy and what you put into your music, and imagining in my head. Hopping into the water and swimming. I mean,
I always believe in, if when I visit schools, I always tell, if there's one message I can get across to the kids, it's to be passionate in life. Mm-hmm. Life is it's so short. You know, I'm not knocking my dad down, but he did so well to feed us, my brother and I. He worked in a factory every day after they took our farm away. And he wasn't happy working in that sweatshop 10 hours a day. And I didn't want to be like him. I knew something different. I wanted to live. Life is short, and I wanted to make it special. And I pursued my passion. I've always loved music. You weren't supposed to do it, but I loved it. I made it my living. Swimming now, I've always loved it since I was born, and I've made it my living. And that's all I'm doing. I'm not trying to be anybody else. I'm not trying to be different. It's just loving what you do, and it doesn't matter. And I'm living proof that it's, no matter how crazy it is, you can do it. They flew me out to Hollywood for a music convention because I had three strikes against me. I'm Polish, I live in Maine, and I play accordion. Yet it's all possible, Steve. So, you know, it doesn't matter what. If you like making dog bones for a living, if you love it, it's amazing. That if you persist, you have to persist. Stick it out. You're going to get these lows and highs, and you know, and that's all I could say. I love what I do.
I mean, that's massively inspirational.
Yeah, and any child has a passion, you know, encourage that child. Don't take it away from them, you know.
Yeah,
everybody, my whole life, you know, I got beat up for playing accordion, you know. The little girls in kindergarten, they wanted the monkeys. They didn't want accordion.
They wanted the monkeys, but I bet you play the monkeys on accordion now.
Yeah, we do it all now, yeah.
Do you listen? You don't, you when you're in the water, you don't like listen to music or
it's
anything.
It's funny you ask that, yeah. But when you're in these painful situations in the water, like swimming in Portsmouth Harbor, swimming the Isle of Shoals was a lot easier than swimming at the mouth of the Piscataqua. The ocean's coming in, the river's going out, you're not going anywhere. You get this exhaustion, but your mind, I hear songs in my mind like I'm wearing a Walkman. It's really weird. I heard La Vie en Rose when I was up in Rockland, Maine.
Oh, yeah?
They timed my swim wrong. I swam against the current the whole way. But your mind takes over, and you hear every detail of the song. It's so crazy. They do make MP3 players for swim goggles, I guess.
Well, they probably do, but you're hearing it all in your
mind.
Yeah,
your mind kind of hallucinates after a while.
Well,
after
that was the question. Yeah. Is it sort of like, do you get in touch with like your breathing and your heartbeat?
Yeah,
and
something that's continuous. When you're doing something continuous and your heart is in a certain rhythm and your breathing's in a certain rhythm, your mind takes over. It's a form of meditation. That's why I got to admit, I was captain in high school and the racing and the gun going off. Now it's meditation and prayer to me. So I'm not into the racing thing. It's prayer time for me. It's like it's cleansing and your blood pressure goes way down and it's a yoga on its own. It really is.
It's a cleansing meditation for you and you're earning
money.
Yeah.
And then
another
amazing thing is you get all these crazy ideas like, you know, I'm going to swim to the Isle of Shoals. All these crazy ideas. And I write songs in the water. So they come to your head. It's amazing. It's a We're 90-something percent water. I think it makes sense, you know?
It makes sense to me. Do you these two things that are a passion of yours, one of them is a very extroverted thing. One's a very introverted thing. Where do you think you fall? Are you more of an extrovert or more of an introvert?
I'm a real hermit. I mean, I got to admit, I do gigs and parties all the time. I got to play a graduation party or a engagement party. I play for the Wives of Masons on Saturday night at the Portsmouth Traffic Circle. You know, you get all kinds of gigs, but and then people ask you to go to a party. It's hard, Steve, you know, because that's my work.
Yes, right.
That's the thing. You know, I'm always going to parties. I play parties, and I got to admit, I'm a real hermit.
Mm-hmm.
I got no solicitor signs on my front door, you know?
No solicitor.
You know, I'm a real hermit. I do miss forestry at times, but it's your job. It's like, you know, this is your job to go out and be at parties. So, like, I really don't want to go to another party.
Well, at least you can recharge by hopping in the water.
I do. That's how I recharge physically and mentally, spiritually. Yes.
You know, but for those people that are introverts, they can still they can still get out there and do it if they want to.
Yeah, they can. And people do different things. They jog or, you know, there's different things. But mine's always been the water.
I think that's super cool, especially for around here in the history and the great waterways.
Oh, and it's so amazing. You cross into a different time zone when you're underwater. You know what is going on in the world today has no bearing. Underwater, it's like the past is preserved. It's a time zone. It really is a different thing.
So what it does is it gives you time. Why don't you? I would love for you to play us a song if you like to. We've been talking about all this stuff, but once you are all recharged, I have to say something about the Surfs. I was going to play something from the Surfs coming up because the Surfs is the project that I know you for the most, and it's sort of the biggest fusion of what you're sort of going for.
And, you know, younger folks like us, they come to see the Surfs. They don't go to see me solo at the North Church or Strawberry Bank. I mean, some do, but
No, we come to the Surfs because we want to see the fun music. It's so fun.
Yeah, and I love the improvisational dancers in Kittery and in Portsmouth that come to the gigs. I love it.
You know? The improvisational dancers?
Yeah, you get people who just, they go off and they do their own thing, you know? When they dance, I love those people, you know? It's like dance whatever way you want. I love it.
Well, it's super important to have an audience, you know, and to be able to play back and forth to your audience. That's why I say when I've talked to people about getting involved in folk and any folk music at all, I say you don't have to get involved by going out and buying one of these things and trying to learn how to play and whatever else. I mean, you can just go involved by listening to music.
Exactly, and dancing. I mean, dancing makes the musicians feel good.
Yeah, it does.
You got to admit.
It does.
When I see little kids or a little 4-year-old dancing, that's all that matters to me.
I love it, you know.
I love it, you know, and that's your job, you know.
Well, I have a surf CD right here. I want to say, you come out of the water and you say, I have a song in my head. I've been meditating and I just earned a lot of money for some very good cause. And now I'm going to do what?
Off of that one, I wouldn't know which one to play off of that, Steve. I mean, there's some that are fast. There's some that are classical fusion. I've always wanted High Tide in Tokyo. Like, I've always was a fan of Godzilla. So that's why I wrote High Tide in Tokyo.
High Tide in Tokyo.
Don't take any offense to it, the sound of it, but I've always was a Godzilla fan.
We're gonna play this. This is High Tide in Tokyo, and this is on Cruisin' the Creek.
I was always a guy like the monster movies, you know. So
yeah, cool. Okay, well, here we go. High Tide in Tokyo.
High Tide in Portsmouth, Steve.
That's absolutely excellent.
It's about High Tide right now.
Gary Straczynski, thank you for being... That's correct, right?
Gary's good enough, Steve. Thank you so much. You're a great guy. I love your voice, man. I think you should pursue this radio career a little more.
I thank you
and
for
saying
that.
And you're even a nicer guy.
You can come back anytime.
You're a great guy, Steve. I had a lot of fun.
I had a lot of fun too. A total pleasure having you on. I love getting this this other side of what's going on. I love your show. If anybody wants more information, you can go to Gary's website at GarySred.com. GarySred.com. If you have any questions for me on Local Folk, you can contact me at S Carrigan, SCARRIGAN at WSCAFM. www.ncfest.org. Up next, we have the award-winning Under the Radar, and the theme is going to be Vinyl Archives. That is coming up in just a moment. Next week on Local Folk, we have harp player Regina Delaney, who's going to talk about
She's a great gal. Yeah. I know Regina.
Okay, so we've got Regina next week, and tune into Local Folk. I'm going to leave you tonight with one more from Gary C.D. Old World Accordions, and it is the first track, and it's called Mermaid in the Creek. Thanks a lot for listening to Local Folk. Bye-bye.